Good to see everybody this morning. Yesterday I was talking about copying the Bible as education. Hard to hear back there, Mike? We were talking yesterday about how the king of Israel was supposed to copy the law of Moses in a book from the original. And that was supposed to prepare him to love God. Supposed to prepare him to fear God and to keep God's commandments and to not to depart from the way God wanted him to be. So that he would be blessed and his children would be blessed after him. And there's been a lot of feedback from different people about on this idea of copying the Bible. First of all, people say, well, that comes out of the Old Testament. Well, just because something comes out of the Old Testament, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind comes out of the Old Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself comes out of the Old Testament. Now, there's some things in the Old Testament that we don't have to do, and there's other things that we do have to do. And that's part of rightly dividing the word of truth, to figure out which parts of the Old Testament Jesus would want us to continue to live. Because we're talking about a life of righteousness. And so today we want to talk about illiteracy. Mainly, the world, they have one idea of what illiteracy is. I was talking to a man where we live in the state of Guerrero, and he says that there's three types of illiteracy. He says the first type is people who don't know how to read. The second type is people who don't know computers. And the third type is people who don't speak English. Now that is maybe, he's not an educated person, so that might be the idea that an uneducated person in southern Mexico would think was illiteracy. They've come to believe that you have to speak English, you have to know computación, and you have to know to read. Well, God thinks that illiteracy is somebody who doesn't know how to think the way he thinks. That if you don't know how to think, you remember that man who was so rich and then when he died, God said, "You fool." That man, I'm sure he knew how to read. I'm sure he probably knew the languages that you need and he knew about business and everything. But when he died, God said he was a fool. Because he didn't know how to think. He had made the wrong choices. And so he didn't think the way God teaches us to think. His word teaches us the way to think. From the beginning to the end, it teaches us not just what to think, it teaches us how to think. It's a system of thought. The Bible is a system of thought. But unless it works together as a system, it's just divided doctrines. Individual doctrines are not a system. Like your car, if you take your car apart, it won't function as a system. You've got the starter here, the motor will be over here, the transmission over here. But it won't work as a system unless all the parts are together in the right place, unless they're all functioning, it won't be a system. And the Bible, I would suggest to you, is God's way of... says that His ways are above our ways and His thoughts are above our thoughts. And God's way of thinking is so systematic. It starts somewhere, it ends somewhere, it has to travel through. It's a systematic way of thinking, and then it leads to a systematic way of living. And that's called righteousness. If a person has God's thoughts, he's going to live God's life. And unrighteousness comes from the ignorance of the Word of God. And people don't know how to be righteous. They don't know how to live a righteous life because they don't think. Out of their heart, they have vain thoughts coming out of their heart. They have wrong motives coming out of their heart. They may have anger or vengeance or many of these things. These are ungodly ways of thinking. But the Bible is a system that teaches us how to think. Now the question is, okay, we want to train our children. Do we really want them to think the way God thinks? Or do we want them to be illiterate like the rest of the world? Because God thinks that somebody who hasn't sought after righteousness, that hasn't come after, followed after Jesus, and that hasn't paid the price, God calls him illiterate. He might speak 10 languages. He's illiterate. He might read and write Greek and Hebrew, but he's illiterate if he hasn't thought, if he hasn't learned the way that God wants us to think. Because if you really want to think the way God thinks, you have to pay a price. And people are not willing to pay the price that the Bible lays out. That if you would come after Jesus, you have to pay a certain price. And many people will call themselves a Christian, but they haven't paid that price. They don't think like Jesus. They don't have the mind of Christ. And their salvation consists only of a definition in a book. It doesn't consist of a life that shows that they're saved. And so, if we want to pay the price of thinking the way God thinks, then we have to see what the price is here, what Jesus is telling us that we need to do if we want to think like God and teach our children. Well, one thing we have to do is we have to shun certain things. You know, if you have an electric fan, you can't put water in it. You have to shun water in any electrical device. You can't put water in your radio, you can't fill it with water. You have to shun water. In fact, it even says on it, don't let water get on this device. So there's certain things that we have to shun if we ever want to think the way God thinks. There's certain things that from the beginning you can never allow into your life because it'll make a short circuit. Because it'll make two things short out. It'll cause the whole way that God thinks to go to not work. Just like if you put the water in your electric fan, it'll stop working. Or in your radio. So we need to see what are those things that we're supposed, and that's where the Bible tells us what are these things that we have to shun, we have to avoid. And this isn't legalism, like the brother was pointing, this is realism, because if you let those things, you'll never get, like you can't plant seeds on tops of rocks. You have to avoid rocks when you're planting seeds and plant in good soil. And you might say that's legalistic. That's awfully legalistic. You can't sow your plant your seeds on the top of a rock. Well, you can plant them there if you want to. You have freedom to plant them there, but it's not going to work. Your seed will do something and then it'll just dry up. And so we have to teach our children the things that need to be shunned. Here in 2 Timothy 2:16, it says to shun profane and vain babblings because they will lead more and more to ungodliness. So what is this talking about? Well, we have to figure out what are these things that it's telling there that we're supposed to shun. We're supposed to avoid something. We're supposed to avoid profane and vain words. The way that, you know, the world is full of these kind of words, but we have to avoid them. And then also in 1 Timothy 4:7, it says, to refuse fables and old wives' tales. There's certain things that the Bible tells us we have to refuse, we have to shun, we have to keep these out of our education for our children. We can't have our children studying the Bible part of the time and studying cute little stories that aren't even true part of the time. Because the Bible tells us not to think about those things. They're not true. Whatever things are true, we're supposed to think about. And it doesn't mean we're not, oh, well, you can have, you know, a little break over here and think about things that are not true. That doesn't make sense. You know, if the Bible says, think about whatever things are true and honest and just and pure and those things, these things, think on these things. It's not saying just part of the time. We're supposed to think about these things all of the time. And so our job as parents is to help our children to be safe from so many bombarding thoughts and vain babblings and old wives' tales and cartoons and children's books. The world is a constant bombardment of untrue, foolish ideas, babblings. And so, if we ever want our children to think the way God thinks, we have to shun the things, we have to create an environment where our children are not going to be bombarded by all these thoughts. We have to, Jesus said in Matthew 15:14, He said, "Leave them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind follow the blind, they'll fall in the ditch. They'll both fall in the ditch." So, we need to leave alone. I think this is a central concept. If we ever want to be literate, if we ever want God to think we know how to read, we know how to read the signs of the times, that we know how to read God's will, we know how to read what God is telling us to do, we know how to read in every decision of life, we know how to read what we're supposed to do at that point and what we're not supposed to do. Because why? Because you know how to read. So many people go through life and they don't know what they're supposed to do because they haven't learned how to make decisions and how to make, they don't think the way God wants us to think. And so you can't, how are you going to make a decision if you don't know how to think the way God thinks? That's what we need to learn. So we need to shun certain things. And then we need to take that system of God and put it into our hearts. He says, write these things, these words, he says, write them on your heart and repeat them to your children. So it's a system. The Bible is a system of how to think, which is better than the world system. How many of you would agree that the way God thinks is better than the way the world thinks? Right, that's obvious. Okay, now I want you to realize that it's millions of times better. It's not just, you know, a 1 gallon milk instead of a liter of a quart milk. No, it's millions of gallons of milk compared to this tiny thing over here, which man calls wisdom and which God calls foolishness. The way God thinks, He calls wisdom. The way man thinks, God calls it foolishness. Why do we want our children to go and learn to think the way men think and learn to be fools? Why? If Jesus came, He would have said, "Oh, you disciples, you need to send your children here to the best schools of the Pharisees, the best schools of the Romans, and if that's not good enough, the best schools of the Egyptians, the best schools of the Babylonians." That's what Jesus would have said. He never said such a thing as that. He said, "Come after me and I will teach you. Learn of me, and you'll learn to be meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." And so Jesus is telling us to pull away, to repent, and to shun and avoid the way this world thinks, and to hear what He says, and right away start to put it into practice. Right away start doing. Because the way that God thinks is a system. Let's look here in Isaiah 55, verse 9. God is very systematic. You can see it's a system because look at the way He created the world. Everything is so, there's an atmosphere that gives everybody oxygen, and then there's water, and then there's dry land. Otherwise, I mean, can you imagine trying to stand on the atmosphere? There's atmosphere so you can breathe, and there's water so you can drink, and there's dry land so you can stand on it. I mean, there's everything you need. And there's food for you to eat. And it's just amazing. Everything is so systematic. God is not the God of confusion. He's the God of system. Everything is so systematic. Man's technology. Man can't even make a single flea. Did you realize that when the Egyptians, the The Egyptian magicians were trying to imitate the works of God. When they got to the flea, they couldn't do it. And they said, this is the hand of God, because we can't make these flies or these fleas that were. And so they in Pharaoh by that time, he said, no. He said, there's just something wrong with the technology here. You can't make it. Well, you know, but this. So they're always resisting God. But God, look at, you know how many different kinds of insects there are? I mean, God is so systematic. He makes all these insects. They're like, each one of them is a million times more complicated than the Challenger, or than the, what do they call that thing that goes around the world? You know, that thing that they take off and they, a couple, the space shuttle. I mean, two of them have blown up already. But what God makes, it reproduces. Can you imagine a space shuttle, and next year there's a baby space shuttle. And then as the baby space shuttle starts growing up, all the parts of the space shuttle are growing at the same speed so that it can become an adult space shuttle. That's the way all living organisms are. They can all survive at every stage of their development. Now that is a system. Who can do that? Ford can't do that. General Motors can't make things like that. Why do we want our children to learn to think like the engineers at Ford? Why don't we teach them to seek after the wisdom which is from above, which it says in Proverbs that you should seek wisdom above all things. Seek wisdom. Seek understanding. So we should be motivated by this idea that God's ways are so much above our ways. In saying that, I forgot to look for Isaiah 55:9. Are you with me? It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's pretty high. You know how high the heavens are? I mean, they can't even measure them. They're so high. We're talking about, you know, the distance from here to the sun, millions and millions and billions of times. That's how high the stars are. They're so high that nobody's even dreaming of ever getting there. But God compares that to the way that He thinks, as the heavens are higher than the earth. And people, they seem to, we should be, our God is our Creator. He has made us and not we ourselves. And so He is holding out before us eternal life. He's holding out before us to be sons of God, to be conformed to His image, to be with Him for all eternity. And yet, instead of putting our eyes on that, we're putting our eyes on getting some diploma so that my child can have a good job so he can make a little bit more money. That, we shouldn't put our eyes on that. That's a very low idea. Jesus said, you know, don't do things to be seen of men, because that will be your reward. That's all the reward you'll get if you do it so that the company will see that you, and you want the company to hire you. Well, that will be your reward. So we shouldn't do things with that motivation. We should do things so that God will see in secret and He'll reward us openly. Because a God who's that great and who can create what He has created, He can give amazing rewards, eternal rewards, and that's what we want our children to participate in. So we talked about there's certain things that we have to shun, and there's a system of thinking that we need to get. So, have you noticed how that when babies start to develop in the womb, that's all they can do. When they're in there, they can't study. They can't play. They can't do the things that they will do after they come out of the womb and when they're born into this world. But they're developing and they're in a womb. Because there's certain things that need to be formed for them to then come out and then start another stage, another development. so that we wouldn't think of, well, how am I going to teach my embryo to read? We wouldn't be thinking about how, you know, what sport is my embryo going to play? And we wouldn't be thinking about, we just, you know, feel him kick and so we're happy because he's being formed and we don't have anything to do with it almost. We don't have to have him doing exercises. We don't have to be feeding him. He's feeding himself. I mean, the whole system is working and he's getting everything he needs. And so you would call that the womb. And many things are excluded in the womb. He's in there in an isolation cell and he's in there and he's multiplying and he's growing and many parts of him are being developed. And I would think that for us to know God and to know His thoughts, God also puts us into a type of a womb here. He puts us into a type of a womb where another type of development is going to take place. When the child is here in his mother's womb, his fingers are being formed and his eyes are being formed and his internal organs and all his physical body is being formed. And then he's born. Well, then there's still another type of development. And now the parents, I think, really come into play, and God really wants to use all of us parents to help in this next stage where the child thinks like a child. Actually, here in 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child, and I thought as a child." So that when a child is a child, he needs to be, he's no longer in a physical womb, but he needs to be protected from many things that could destroy him. He's not ready for many things yet, and so we as parents, our job then, is to provide what God says that this child is going to need, and to be teaching this child's mind what God wants this child to know. And that's where we come back to the Word of God, where God says that these words that I've spoken to you today should be on your heart and you should repeat them to your children. Speaking of them when you're in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And so the words of God. And yesterday, I want to read what we did yesterday. Deuteronomy 17. Where God said that someday the children of Israel would have their own land and they would have their own king. And God says, well, when you set a king over you, don't let him do certain things. It says, he shall, verse 16, this person that shall be your king, he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people, I mean, Deuteronomy 17, verse 16. He shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand, nor to the left, to the end he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel. So, the king was not supposed to think about getting lots of horses for his army. He wasn't thinking, he wasn't supposed to think about getting lots of wives. He wasn't supposed to think about getting lots of silver and gold. He was supposed to think about getting what it is in the Bible that you can get if you write it and if you meditate on it all the days of your life. That's what the king was supposed to get. And I think that this is, as a Christian now, we're going to reign with Christ. He says He has made us to be, made us kings and priests. So we have a great purpose. We're in preparation now. Okay, so in our preparation, we're not supposed to get horses. We're not supposed to get strength. We're not supposed to get money. We're not supposed to get wives. We're supposed to get the fear of the Lord. And this is the wisdom. It says fear. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And it's a way of thinking. It's a way of thinking that directs our life. And so as parents, our job would be to direct these, our little children, so that rather than seeking horses, rather than seeking silver and gold, rather than seeking ladies or husbands, they should seek the Lord. And we can help them to seek the Lord. It says here, okay, the king, it shall be, when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom, he shall write him a copy of this law in a book. Now, how is the king going to have time to do this? That gives you an idea of how important it must have been that he's supposed to have time to write the Bible in a book. Oh, but he has other more important things that he must be attending to. No, he doesn't, because otherwise it would say when he sits on the king throne of his kingdom, he's supposed to do all these other more important things. But when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, there's something more important than doing what the world thinks a king is supposed to do, and that's do what God thinks a king is supposed to do. A king is supposed to write the law of God in a book. That's what God says a king is supposed to do. That's why Saul was a crummy king. That's why the kings of Israel were bad kings. If they had only done what God said for a king to do, the books of Kings and Chronicles would be very different. The whole history of Israel would have been different. I don't believe it was God's will for those kings. God told them, this is the will of God for a king. And since they didn't do it, they didn't get trained according to the will of God. So they didn't have the right input. They did things that they were supposed to shun, and what they were supposed to do, they didn't do. And so they were bad kings. And it kept saying, well, this king was evil before the Lord. And then his son, oh, well, he was a little bit better. And then his son, he was evil before the Lord. And they sought, instead of seeking after the Lord, they sought after the nations. And they sought after what all these other nations thought was profitable and modern and the latest. So, but God wants a people who, it says He's called us to be a peculiar people, to be a people for His namesake, to be different from the other peoples in the world. And in order to do that, it's not magic. There's a system to get to be that way. You're not just going to become that way by not doing what the Bible says. Christianity is not magic. When you plant a seed, that seed doesn't grow by magic. It grows by development. It grows by the system that was put into that seed. That seed, it knows what it's going to be. You know, if it's a beet seed, it's going to become a beet. But if it's a carrot seed, it's going to become a carrot. Now, of course, it doesn't have a brain. But God puts in the seed, and so God put in His Word what a king or what a Christian needs to think like God, to be conformed to His image. I think sometimes we think, well, the Holy Spirit is going to conform me to the image of Christ. without the words that the Holy Spirit inspired and He commanded us to meditate on, He's going to conform us to the image of Christ. How can you grow corn without a seed? How can you grow anything without a seed? This is the seed. Jesus even said, the seed is the Word of God. But yet, we spend 8 hours planting other things into children's minds, and how much time is spent planting the seed that God said needs to be planted in our children's minds? Very little time, usually. Because the whole world is doing it. We run after them and we want to do it. But I think we should repent. I think we should turn around and see that this is not the way that Jesus was raised. This isn't the way John the Baptist was raised. This isn't what the New Testament Christians were doing with their children, sending them off to the University of Jerusalem to study with the people who killed Jesus Christ. I don't think that was what Christians should do. Why should we go to the people who don't even believe in Jesus and think that they're going to teach our children how to live and how to be a good Christian and how to live a life to the glory of God when they themselves don't even believe in Jesus? Okay, I agree that in some high schools there's a few teachers there who are Christians. Most of them are not. So why would we send our children to learn things that the Bible says we're supposed to shun and that we're supposed to avoid? So when our children are little, they need this special protection because they can't be a Daniel yet. Some people say, well, but Daniel was in Babylon. Daniel was a big boy. Your children are not big boys. And Daniel was not raised in Babylon. Joseph was not raised in Egypt. All these things that people present as great examples of, well, you know, you can go to the Babylonian schools. Daniel did. Well, by that time, Daniel was not a fluctuating little child who thought as a child. And Daniel stood, I mean, you could tell by the decisions he was making. Where did he learn to make those decisions? See, he had already been, you could tell that Daniel came from a good home because of the way the stance he took against Babylon. But what about the other thousands of Jews that were in Babylon with Daniel? Why isn't there a book written about them? Well, actually there is. It's the book of Daniel. They all bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's image and only three of them didn't bow down. The rest of them did. That's what's happening to Christianity today. All the Christian children are just bowing down to the world system. Because their parents are not standing in the gap. Their parents are not providing a Christian home that's going to keep, that are going to make these children into a Daniel and make these children into a Joseph or into a Timothy or into a John the Baptist or into a Jesus. Because you just don't get people like this by chance. You just don't go out into the pagan world somewhere, into some tribe somewhere, and find a Daniel. You just don't find him out there. The Daniels come from the Jews. Jesus said salvation comes from the Jews. You get the Spirit of God through the Jews has given us His Word. This is seed. And if we take this Word and it says copy, I think that's a very good way. If you can think of a better way, tell God. But what God says is take a book, a blank book, and take the Bible and start copying it. Okay, some people have said that's not the only way. Okay. It may not be the only way, but if you can think of a better way, you do it. I think it must be the best way. Why would God say, copy it in a book from the original? Why didn't He say, copy theological books? Why didn't He say, copy science books? Why didn't He say, copy algebra books? Why didn't He say, copy books of law? Well, I mean, secular law. He said, copy the words that God gave to Moses, the law of Moses, in a book. What will happen if I do that? You're planting a seed. Let the Word of God do what it's supposed to do. But if you never plant it, how is it going to do anything in your child? But my child goes to Sunday school. That is totally insufficient. And compared to how much is in the Bible, you know what percentage of that a child learns in Sunday school? If you took that percentage of a seed and cut the seed and took how much of the plant would grow if you plant half a seed? If you cut a seed in half, you know how much will half a plant grow? Nothing will grow. You can't plant half a seed. You can't even plant 90% of a seed. It won't work. The Word of God is a system. You can't take 90% of your car and drive it. You can't take off one of the tires and remove a few things from the engine and think that you have to have the whole system. The Bible is the whole seed. God gave us the Bible. I don't know how God could preserve it through all these ungodly centuries, but we got it. And Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Why are we studying heaven and earth? Why don't we study the word that he would said would never pass away? So that we can have eternal life. This world's going to pass away anyway. Who cares what we get in it? Jesus said, strive to enter in at the narrow gate, because I tell you, truly, many will in that day try and they won't be able to enter in. They never planted the seed. They think that they're a Christian because they go to church. No, you're a Christian, Jesus said, if you remain in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. And they say, wait a minute, we're sons of Abraham. We've never been slaves. He said, if you commit sin, you're a slave to sin, and the slave will not remain in the house forever. He's not saved. He's not saved from sin if he's in sin. It's like an airplane. How can you tell it's an airplane? It's flying. What if it's just sitting on the ground turning its motors? And everybody's saying, look, it's an airplane, it's an airplane. Well, what if it can't fly? What if you can't get the victory over sin? Jesus said, follow me. I will make you. I will teach you. Learn of me. And so he gives us here this program. He gives us here this seed that will bear fruit if we will plant it. You've got to have faith in a seed. We're living in a day now, we live in southern Mexico, where it's all agriculture where we live. And everybody is planting seeds. And there are these companies that make these seeds. And these seeds will make short corn plants, whereas the old seeds made very tall. These we're talking about 10-foot tall corn plants. And they're very nice, except the wind blows them over. And so the people who sell corn made this variety of corn that gives as much corn, but it's a short plant. And they say, here, buy this corn seed. And so everybody saw how it worked, and everybody's starting to buy it. So that the seed makes a difference. They know that if you plant these seeds, this is the kind of corn you get. But if you plant those seeds, that's the kind of corn you get. Okay, if you plant this seed, you will get a Daniel. But you can't mix this seed with other things that God says not to plant the seed with. You can't mix. Like we said, you can't take an electric fan and put water in it. You have to shun an agriculture plants the seed, but it has to remove certain things so that that seed can develop. So we have to plant the Word of God, which is what God said to teach our children. He didn't say to teach them to have a career. He said to teach them to have eternal life. He said, teach them to follow me. Teach them to think the way I think, which is way above, millions of times above the way people are thinking today. No, but I won't get any credit. You'll get credit with God. You'll get incredible credit with God if you will believe God and plant His seed and clean the area from those things like the TV, all the false literature, videos, all the stuff that's trying to mix it. It's trying to interfere with the development of the way God thinks by teaching you to think differently, teaching you to solve problems differently. We will get a harvest for Jesus. We have to control what our children see and hear. We have to control it. A farmer controls how the seeds, he puts the seed there, and he controls very much. He puts a fence around the field. People where we live understand this perfectly. If you plant corn and don't put up a fence, you will harvest nothing. Because all the burros, all the vacas, all the toros, all the puercos, all the animals of our town will be eating, as it's growing, they'll be eating it as fast as it's growing. Unless our children are separated as God indicates, the seed, the Word of God, will not create a person like Daniel. He'll create a person like Esau. Or it'll create a person like Cain. And then they come to the pastor and they say, "Pastor, pray for my son because my son is not like Daniel." Well, we need to start right now and ask God, "God, help us with our, we haven't done these right things, but help us now to learn how we're supposed to teach our children so that we will get the people that you want." If we don't control what our children hear and see, somebody else will. See, all this idea about freedom is not even true. Let the child choose. He's not going to choose. There's somebody who's controlling the media and controlling this world to such extent that if you don't control it, they will. And that child, a different kind of seed will be planted in that child. And you'll be horrified at what that child is going to become. Because according to what he hears and sees, he's going to think. And according to what he thinks, he's going to live. And his life will be a result of a different kind of a seed rather than the Word of God. And we shouldn't confuse religion. We shouldn't confuse Christian religion with the Word of God. There's children who all their life have been in church. And for some reason, their life is just like the world. Because even in spite of the fact they're always in church, what was really planted in them was the way the world here was. The sounds and the sights of the world is what they always saw. And so that's what they learned to think. And that's how they learned to live. And that it's very easy that was a different seed. Even though they were always in church, it was a different seed that was planted in the children. So we need to plant in our children the Word of God. And everybody in the church should be, we should all be doing the same thing and encouraging one another and all be planting the same seed into the children. That's our job. We're parents and God is going to use us. He's going to use you. He's going to use you to plant that seed and keep that seed protected so that this stage in a child's development, the seed of the Word of God will give him a way of thinking and that will enable him to live a life that we call righteousness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your Word, which is the maximum. And we confess to you all of our lackings. And all we don't know how to think as we should. When we were small, this is not the seed that was planted in us. But we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've come to seek and save that which was lost and to teach us to believe in you and to teach us to now be followers of you and be learning your way, the mind of Christ. And now we ask you, Heavenly Father, wash away all of our sins. Wash away all of our thinking. And reprogram us according to your Word and help our children not to make the mistakes that we made and help them to have the good seed from the very beginning and help us to protect them so that that good seed will become something that we have never become. And we praise you and thank you for it. We ask you, God, that our children would be another Timothy, another Daniel, all the men of the great men of faith of the Bible, that this generation would see all kinds of men of faith and women of faith springing up in where we, your people, are teaching our children. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.